This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 261. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
A New Dark Knight on Earth 2, Bruce in a wheelchair, A Fable in Quicksand, and our favorite Silver Age City returns. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, June 9th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Earth 2 Annual Number 1 and Earth 2 Number 13 by Robinson, Sinar, Cafu, and Gopez. Now, the annual did come out last week, but we just got it this week, so we're just going to combine these together because it really is one story. The annual was advertised as the introduction to a new Earth 2 Batman. And, of course, the original Batman was killed in the first issue along with the original Superman and Wonder Woman of Earth 2. And that's kind of what generates all the events that actually end up occurring in Earth 2.
Well, and it's also what sort of sent the two characters that we have in our
Power Girl and Huntress.
Power Girl and Huntress into Earth Prime or whatever they're calling it.
Now, we do get Earth 2 Batman, but most of the story is really about Al Adam Pratt. Now, we already knew he was in an explosion during the Darkseid War. He was a soldier. There's this nuclear explosion, and somehow he survives. And we learn a little bit more now about what happened since then. He has all this guilt over his fallen brothers. He's tested physically and psychologically. And one of the therapy sessions triggers his first power, which is his ability to grow. And a later battle ends up triggering his atomic punch. So he's kind of a combination of the Earth 1 and Earth 2 atoms.
And they make it very clear in several points in the comic that he appears to be normal in every way.
Right.
When they do a physical exam.
Exactly. One of the major concepts in Earth 2 is that most of the powers are not scientifically based. It's more magically based. So you could look at somebody and do a battery of tests and say, scientifically, there's nothing different about you. It just seemed like they really stayed away from science in that continuity. So we then cut to today and Phnom Penh in Cambodia, where a lot of the tech from the war has ended up and a lot of Darkseid's equipment has ended up. And people there are trading them in a kind of black market and also using them as implants. So a lot of people there are like
Cyborgian.
Yeah. Pratt manages to catch this terrorist there he was sent to stop. And he runs into this certain bat-hooded figure who apparently has no trouble with killing.
Or with guns. It looked like it was a gun, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just shooting. He's then called to Darain to stop Steppenwolf, who we've already established has taken over that Middle Eastern country, who we're now going to need to refer to as the Earth 2 Batman, later stops this character Icicle in Spain, and Icicle warns him about Hawk Girl.
Well, I don't know if it was a warning as much as it was...
He was shaking him down for information.
And now he knows that Hawk Girl would be on his side, sort of. Don't you think?
It seems like it. So meanwhile, Captain Steel, who we've now established is the first of the new Wonders, which is what they're calling the heroes there. He's the first one that came from,
out of the war,
has been sent to Rio de Janeiro.
Now, this is an exception to your magic rule because he was science.
True. There's a fire pit in Rio, and there's others of them all over the world that are deadly due to radiation. And when they show you an exterior shot, basically from space, of Earth 2, these fire pits are massive, taking over the space of countries. And you have to wonder.
India and Pakistan was destroyed by a fire pit.
Right. And you have to wonder, how did Earth 2 survive? And how does it continue to survive with these massive fire pits going on? So all the ones around the world, except the one in Rio, have deadly radiation. The one in Rio is okay for some reason, and the city of Rio de Janeiro has actually built around it, and so people live on the edge of this fire pit. So we cut to the remains of Gotham City, where, quote, mad scientists and monsters rule. Mr. Miracle and Big Barda, who is, I don't think this is their first appearance, I think they've already been established, are on the lookout for Batman there, trying to find Batman. So that's all happens in the annual, and then in the regular issue, we get some backstory on Captain Steel.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was just talking about. Sorry,
right.
I jumped ahead to another comic.
Well, that's okay, because it was all one story. We learn that Steel not only has this skeleton structure of steel and is basically mostly invulnerable, he also has some sort of technopathic ability. He can somehow control machinery with his mind.
Wasn't there some villain who could do that?
Yeah, I've seen that before, but this is the first time that this character of Steel had that type of ability. And we also learn about the Red Files, and this is what they started to name some of the first military projects that came out of the big war. Red Tornado is mentioned, who we've already seen a reference to before. Red Arrow, and this is the first time we've heard of Red Arrow. We don't see anything about this character, just that he exists. And Red Torpedo, who was built by this guy, Jim Lockhart. I had to look this up. In Silver Age continuity, what was called Earth X, which is where all the quality characters from Quality Comics were put after DC bought that line. He was a hero called Red Torpedo in the 1940s. So this is actually a callback to a 1940s comic. So Steel uses this Red Torpedo, which is just this torpedo. It's just like a submarine type thing. He uses it to go into the Rio fire pit because the World Army wants to know what is going on in there.
Well, there were rumors that somebody had been seen in the pit and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Blah.
So meanwhile, Hawk Girl and the Earth 2 Batman meet, and he gives her some information and tells her to continue on her journey and her investigations. And in the last panel, Steel exits the fire pit, minus the Red Torpedo, which has apparently been destroyed, and he's all banged up, and he warns about the Red Lantern.
Yay, we're going to get Crayola lanterns.
Apparently.
I'm sorry. But this would obviously be somebody that the government maybe it had earlier exhibited some sort of power, and the government sent in there.
Right.
And then she or he.
We don't know.
Yeah. Has developed to the point where they can maybe control the fire pit. So that would be interesting. Will she be or he? Why do I keep saying she?
I think they may actually reference in the last page she. I'm not sure. But I seem to think the same thing.
That maybe she's going to be evil.
Right.
But
will destroy everything. I've really enjoyed Earth 2 so far, the idea of take a very different take on the heroes and setting it in the modern age, but again, more an age of magic than necessarily science.
Does it seem to you that these issues are fairly far apart, or am I imagining things?
I think they're coming out less often than monthly. Maybe they're having trouble getting them completed in time. Not sure. But it does seem like there's a long period between issues. Legends of the Dark Knight, number 9, by Gage, Rapak, Fox, and Rue, is again a digital first title, meaning they put it out in digital format first, and then they put out the paper copy. And there's two stories. first one, which is far more interesting, and I really enjoyed this, where Bruce is fighting Scarecrow, and he gets a whiff of some new version of the fear gas.
It's absorbed through his skin.
Exactly. He wakes up in bed back at Wayne Manor, and he learns that years have passed. He has some sort of Parkinson's-like disease where he has mental lapses. He can't use his legs. He has this disassociation from reality. And there's also evidence of brain surgery because there's this huge scar in his scalp. And Alfred is caring for him. Basically, this is really what, in my opinion, would probably happen to somebody in real life if they were constantly being...
Well, it is what happens to boxers and
yeah.
to football players and...
In constant fights and constant concussions and being exposed to terrible toxins and things like that. This is really more what would happen to somebody in real life. Alfred begs Bruce to stay with him mentally and use his brain to help humanity because... Every time he comes out of this fugue state, he only stays out for a short period of time. And Alfred says, with your wonderful mind, that you could do these wonderful things and cure cancer. And
he could.
And he could. Instead, he wants to go back into this fantasy life where he's still Batman. He also learns that he killed Robin during one of his psychotic breaks. He thought it was Clayface. The Justice League came in and cleaned up Gotham after he quit or had to retire, and all the nutcases have left the city. So now Gotham has no more crime than, say, Chicago or Detroit. It's not this mecca for supervillains because Batman's not around, which has always been a big question. Does Batman generate the supervillains? Do they want to go there?
Which came first?
Yeah.
So... The chicken or the egg,
right.
The Batman or the Joker.
Right. Commissioner Gordon comes to him once in a while to help on cases. So when Bruce is lucid, he can help Gordon solve cold cases. And so he's ready to pretty much accept this, that this is what has really happened, when he realizes that his legs should be atrophied because he's been in a wheelchair for 5 years, and yet they're not atrophied. And then so he realizes it's all the effect of Scarecrow's drugs. Of course, this is what is causing all this. This is not really happening to him. I really did enjoy this story because it does portray a more realistic version of what would happen to somebody who tried to do this for a living.
Well, and the Alfred character there is sort of a stand-in for all the fans who say, well, really, if Bruce would just use his money to do this instead of fight crime, the world would be a better place.
Yeah. There's a second story about Bruce and Selina, where she's using Mr. Freeze's tech in order to avoid heat sensors, where she's trying to break into this high security estate and he stops her. It's an okay story.
It's definitely a B story.
It's a B story. Ferris number 16 from Vertigo by Williams and Sadowski. So this continues the Nalayani and Prince Charming story. They're clearly falling for each other. Charming has a servant who's either a eunuch or he's gay.
Well, he's safe to be put into the harem at
right.
any rate.
So they set off to save her village. They're attacked overnight when they've camped out, and both of our lead characters are injured. And Charming shows that he has a modern gun. He has a pistol. So is it modern day in our world or in the main world of fables, and it's still ancient time in this kingdom?
It's very possible that that could be the case, and he's just traveling through kingdoms again.
Right.
It would be really interesting if, in fact, we're seeing Prince Charming on his way back to Fabletown.
Because, again, this modern gun, it's not just a, it's not like a Colt pistol, it's like a modern gun. So they ride off together to stop these animals that had attacked their encampment, and she ends up in quicksand in the last panel. Astro City number 1 from Vertigo. This is from Busiek, Anderson, and Ross. Busiek's long-running series comes to Vertigo as an ongoing series. After several years, Kurt Busiek had this long illness where he was on so many drugs he couldn't concentrate enough to write. The amount of work he's been doing in the last several years has really gone down, but now he's apparently over all that and getting more work out there. Astro City is basically a set of Silver Age stories told with modern methods. And we'll talk more about Astro City next week. But in this issue, there's this mysterious broken man who speaks directly to the reader, who's trying to stop the Obor and needs normal people to basically be his agents to find out more about the Obor, and says, well, I can't use the heroes because they've been co-opted. So he wants just regular people. So we meet American Chibi, who's this anime character brought to life.
I thought that was really interesting because he was saying, is it a preteen girl whose dreams have been brought to, you know, or is it a...
Is an adult man who's...
Yeah.
And it is very much an anime character with this huge head with these huge eyes and a little body.
Yes.
And so she stops these bad guys from getting this super weapon. And then this immense door just appears in midair over the city. And Samaritan, who's our Superman analog, comes in to help and calls in some friends. And we then cut to this person, Ben Pullum, who's a civilian that was introduced earlier in the series, who now has two adult daughters and they have their own lives. And he's kind of at loose ends as to what he wants to do with his life. We cut back to the huge door and we get this great double page splash of all the major characters from Astro City. And there are so many of them attacking the door and having no impact. And then suddenly the door opens and this massive armored figure comes out and goes, "People of Earth!" And then adjusts a little thing. Oh, wait a minute. That's too loud. Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
Which I just love that. And he says he's there to meet peacefully with Earth. And just needs a guide, a regular person, to help him understand Earth's culture and government and all that. So this ordinary guy, Ben, volunteers. And the heroes and the military hesitantly agree, because they don't want to appear as though they are not controlling things to this emissary. But at the same time, they're like, why is this guy getting to go in? And the broken man now has a man on the inside. He feels he has this agent. And then, and this is really a classic Silver Age concept, he warns us not to read the next page, which of course you're going to do.
I didn't. No, I did. Never mind.
And we learn he may just be a mental patient. So I'm really glad to see Astro City back. And again, we'll talk more about Astro City in the next episode. Before we get out of here, it's time to play your America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to press the button. Go.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it a single show?
Yes.
Let's see, a single show. Is it on one of the three major networks?
No.
Is it on pay cable?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a new show?
No.
All right. Is it on HBO?
No.
So it's on, is it on Showtime?
Yes.
Okay. Showtime, is it genre related?
Sort of.
Is it a drama?
Yes.
Okay, drama. Showtime, sort of genre related. Okay. Is there one person on the cover?
Yes.
Is it a man?
Yes.
Is the man over 50?
No.
Over 40?
Yes.
Okay, it's 40s. And let's see. Having not seen cable for so long, I'm blanking on. Okay, let's see. Is the man white?
Yes.
Okay. It's
as with most of these good series, it's based on a book.
On a book.
I don't think that'll help you at all.
Probably not. I keep going to Breaking Bad, but I know it's not Breaking Bad.
That's correct. It is not Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is on AMC.
Exactly. Showtime. Man. Okay, is it medically related?
Sort of.
Sort of. Yeah.
I don't think you'll get it in the 3 seconds you have.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Maybe I should make you play it again next week.
Yeah.
No. It was Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I just couldn't think of that.
That's okay. It wasn't nearly as good as the books. I think that's the case with most of these, except maybe Game of Thrones.
So I want to remind you, you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.